Praise God. All right, we're going to have Shirley come up, and she's going to lead a Bible study tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful we have Jesus. You know, we've had a great shock with learning that our brother Doug just, you know, that I guess it was a week ago Sunday when he fell. And he'd been here in church in the morning, and I remember just thinking, wow, was he just about ready to go downstairs? And I thought I just better call out to Doug and ask him how he was. And, you know, he said he was fine. Oh, my. But, oh, yes, this world is not our home, is it? We're just passing through. And you know, it just makes it so clear how short our time is on this earth. And, you know, it also brings together how dear every member in the body of Christ is. And, oh, yes, you know, it just, we know we are very dependent upon the Lord. We could do nothing without him. And it's just so wonderful to know that we can rest in his promises and trust him for all the things on this earth that don't always seem to go right. But praise the Lord knows how to help us.
Amen.
Amen. You know, a few minutes ago, back at home before the service tonight, I just want to read these few verses here, just in memory of Doug here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read verse 19 and maybe a couple others. Praise the Lord. Verse 19 here in 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man death came, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, yes, we know that, our bodies sleep. Oh, yes, when our life here on this earth is ended, and praise the Lord, our soul, our spirit goes to be with the Lord Jesus. And, oh, yes, that is our very, very blessed hope. As we sing that song, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to know that in Jesus we have hope. We have a hope beyond this world. You know, so many things go wrong. And I know Brother Tim had called me before service tonight. There was, the occurrence that this man, Charlie Kirk, was shot and killed, and he's the founder of a very conservative movement. I don't know a whole lot about him, but he was a founder of this Turning Point USA, and I'm sure with that he was trying to install great hope in the hearts of people that, you know, things could be better, and you know that by the grace of God it would become that way. But oh my, for him, I think he was 31 years old, you know, somebody, I do believe they'll find out who it was, shot him, killed him. Oh my, and he had an event in Utah Valley University. You know, that's quite a thing to hear, you know? Quite a thing to hear. This world is upside down, and I don't know what will happen next, you know? I know there's some that have been talking about civil war because things are so divided in this country, and God only knows what they might do to try to bring it to come to pass. But praise the Lord, we must hold on to God's unchanging hand, and oh my, just look to Him for every detail in our lives. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are certainly blessed to know the living God. Amen. So very blessed indeed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians tonight. I did go through a portion of it last week. And then by the grace of God, we'll finish this chapter. And also that would finish this epistle, 1 Thessalonians. But let's just go and see how the Lord might direct here tonight. And we're going to just pray and talk to the Lord here a moment here as we get going. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can put all things into thy hands. Oh, God, we thank you that you have put hope in our hearts. Oh, God, we have met with thee, Lord. You have turned our lives around. You have given us hope, Lord. And, oh, God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful, Lord. Oh, God, that we can look beyond this world. Oh, Lord, and look to thee and know that, oh, beyond it, there's, oh, yes, an eternal world. And, oh, a very glorious and bright world for the child of God. And we thank you for this hope that's deep within our beings. Oh, Lord, and I pray, oh, Lord, that you would help us, that you would move in us. So, oh, Lord, that you comfort us, that you would talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. And I pray that you would move in our hearts tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you would touch us by thy presence, Lord. Oh, God, I pray for anybody who has not yet realized thy reality and, oh, committed their lives to thee. I pray that you would talk in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and I pray that you'd get us ready. Get us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, a great day for the people of God, but a terrible day for those that despise you. Oh, my, and have turned their hearts from thee. Oh, God, I pray that you'd minister to us tonight and help us, Lord, for we need to get ready. We need to be right. We must be prepared, Lord, and help us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, be with your people. Oh, God, move in us. Talk to us. Oh, Lord, get us ready. Help us to repair our hearts. Oh, Lord, let our lamps be trimmed and burning. Oh, God, give us that zeal for thee. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, we realize that this church at Thessalonica, almost from its very early beginning, was persecuted. And, you know, that's quite something. You know, the zeal of the Lord was certainly upon them. And, you know, I'm sure, oh, the eagerness to share and you know, to look for those moves of the Holy Ghost to see signs and wonders. I'm sure it was a very big part of them, and, you know, a love for the Lord and a love for one another. But yes, with this new convert zeal, and it is a very beautiful thing when people realize that God has called them, and oh, yes, it's going to be a new life in Christ Jesus, and oh, the thrill of all of this. But oh, yes, with that new life in Christ, there comes the need for discipleship. Praise the Lord, there's a lot to learn. And yes, as we walk with the Lord, you know, it's a realization that we need to learn more and more and more and grow and grow and grow. And there's always more to strive for. You know, we have a goal. Oh, that's very great. A goal to be like Jesus. Yes, and a goal to overcome this world, oh, with his help. Oh, praise the Lord, by his anointing, by his spirit. Praise the Lord, something that we cannot do in ourselves. But praise the Lord, you know, we can put our lives in the hands of our Heavenly Father, of our Savior, and oh, know that he knows how to get us through this world. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and just see how the Lord might lead and guide here tonight. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, I know, you know, Paul would have liked to have, you know, a short stay there initially with them, and it seemed like, you know, we could understand his desire to go back and minister and share more and, you know, give more. And, you know, that was such a burden in his heart. He wanted to see his people grow, you know. And I love that too, you know. It's so exciting to see new people come to the Lord. But oh my, you know, we want to see them grow. We want to see all of you grow. Amen. Because, yeah, that's what it's about. And, you know, I mean, there's going to be hardships. There's going to be trials. There's going to be battles. But oh my, you know, we've got to have our mind set upon serving the Lord and be very determined, you know, to serve him no matter what. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, to be ready, because yes, the early church was looking for the return of Jesus Christ. It was deep in their hearts, even back then. So yes, it's no wonder there. And I think, I believe this epistle was written around, I think it was around 52. I checked on that a while ago. I hope I remember right now. But anyway, you know, by the grace of God, you know, that, you know, their hearts were set on serving the Lord, and they were looking for his return. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go now here and let's see what the Lord will show us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. And of course, we did go through a good portion of this last week, so I probably won't elaborate a whole lot maybe on this first portion, but we'll see. We'll see what God does here. Praise the Lord. So he's writing, Paul, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, obviously, that's a matter that they discussed when he was there with them that short time. And then he gives us, you know, a clue here as to when that moment will arrive. And so it tells us in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Oh my, you know, that's, yeah, quite a thought here, you know. And, you know, I remember with one of my children, it was a Sunday night, and I'd gone to the hospital because I was having contractions, but they said it was too early. So they sent me back home. Well, that meant I just come over to the church because we had Sunday night church. And I was here a little while, and those contractions got much stronger. And pretty soon I realized I was just going to, you know, be heading back to the hospital. But, you know, I remember a dear woman just saying how brave I was seeing me in that state. And, you know, I'm thinking, hey, this has nothing to do with bravery. No, you know, there's a child that's going to be born, and I don't have much say about it except to deliver this child. And so it was, you know, at that moment, you know, what can you do but, you know, give birth by the grace of God and by his mercy. And, you know, there's not an escape, you know. You can't get out of it, you know. It's going to happen by the grace of God, you know. Amen. One way or the other. And so here it is. Paul is saying that, you know, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. It's going to take them, in other words, unaware. And he's comparing it to travail that comes upon a woman with child, and there's no escape. Oh my. But yes, praise the Lord, as his children, we are told in verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So despite the fact he's going to come suddenly and it's going to be unannounced, you know, still, yes, because we are looking for his return. We need to live in that realm where we're expecting him to return and not putting it off 100 years or, you know, in somebody else's lifetime. But no, his people are looking for him. Yes, so that we will not be overtaken as a thief who comes unannounced and suddenly. No, because we are all the children of light, as verse 4 tells us. But ye, brethren, verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the light has come into our hearts, the light of Jesus Christ. So, yes, we can see. We're not stumbling around in darkness, you know. We're not out there wondering, you know, what in the world to do and without hope and miserable and seeing all these things and not knowing where to go or how to turn or how to live. No, we don't have to live in that realm because, yes, we are walking in the light if we are walking with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Oh, praise the Lord. We can walk in discernment, yes, because the Lord is with us. And he knows how to talk to us. He knows how to show us in his word what we need to see. And oh my, he knows how to prompt us in our hearts. Oh my, so yes, we can be aware. We can be, up to date in the spirit, so to speak. Oh, praise the Lord, not stumbling around in darkness. So we're told in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. This is a serious matter. Amen. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Praise the Lord. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, it's going to be a terrible end for those that fear not God, who have despised him and rejected him. It's going to be a terrible thing. Oh, yes, in front of them is going to be God's wrath like they've never seen, his judgment. Oh, yes, in that moment when they stand before him. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes, if our lives are given over to the Lord Jesus Christ, we look forward to that moment, yes, when we stand before him and hear him say, only because of his grace and mercy toward us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, we want to watch and be sober. You know, I believe Mark, the 13th chapter, really brings out that point so very well. And for a moment, maybe we could just read a little bit here in Mark 13. Oh, yes. If we go down to verse 23 here in the 13th chapter of Mark and read, it says, but take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. And, you know, I do believe Jesus spent a lot of time in his earthly ministry preparing the hearts of his apostles, of his disciples, you know, getting them ready and even preparing them for the end of the world. And praise the Lord, you know, he said all this so that, no, it's written in the book, praise the Lord, in the Bible, praise the Lord. So here we have it outlaid by Jesus Christ, laid out, praise the Lord. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And interestingly, you know, they're talking about blocking out the sun. Yeah, God only knows what they've already attempted and tried to do. Oh my, you know, they're doing all kinds of crazy things that I'd rather not know about, to tell you the truth. But oh my, all these indicators, all these signs that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, after, yes, it's over, the tribulation of these days, on this tribulation of this life, oh my, it tells us, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Oh, everything's going to shake, oh my, on this world. It's not going to be the same. They're going to cry to hide. Oh, yes, and flee from the wrath of Jesus Christ as they realize he's coming. He's coming, oh yes, in great anger. He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, a terrible moment for those that have rejected him. He tells us in verse 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Oh, here he comes, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, a great triumphant moment as he comes. Oh, with all his power and might. And, you know, every eye is going to see him.
Yes, they will.
Oh, what a moment. Oh, yes, as the resurrection of the dead also comes to pass, all these things click together, praise the Lord. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And, you know, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Oh, yes. In the clouds to meet the Lord, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. This great day that we've been looking for. So Jesus then went from that point to give forth a parable. And here it is, verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. It's very telltale, isn't it? We all kind of see those indicators, you know? We look, oh, for the greening of the grass. We look for the return of the robins. We look, oh, for the trees to start branching out, greening out, and oh, yes, putting forth their leaves. And yeah, we recognize that, don't we? We know that summer is near. So Jesus is instructing in verse 29, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. And I believe we're seeing these signs and wonders right now. Oh, we're told, verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. So if we're in that end generation with all these things coming to pass, then oh my, it's going to be fulfilled. He's going to come. Amen. Yes, we're told in verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then, oh yes, there's more knowledge given here. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And oh yes, you know, the eternal Spirit of God who knows all things. And of course, in reality, that Spirit was in Jesus. But oh yes, it isn't like it's, you know, a date we can circle on the calendar and say, that's when he's coming. Yeah, well, we'll have to make sure we're ready on that day. No, we don't know the day or the hour. None of us. And the angels don't know it either. Oh yes, but God knows it. It's an appointed day. Oh yes, when he's going to return to this world to judge this world in righteousness. And so then he goes, I'm just saying, verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Oh, it's going to take so many people by surprise. Oh, we don't want to be of that number that, oh my, is very unaware and not looking for his return. And then he says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Oh, yes, this 34th verse says a lot. You know, yes, that's exactly how it is. You know, Jesus Christ had that short ministry here on this earth. And then he left. He ascended back into heaven, right? But oh, yes, he gave authority. He gave power unto his servants. Amen. And yes, he gave to us, his people, our jobs, our specific jobs to do while he is gone in the interim, you know, before he returns back. And of course we know, you know, a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And so, you know, it's not in the eyes of God, you know, a long time since he walked this earth. But so it is. Yes, he left. But oh yes, he sent forth the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, so he could work in our hearts. Oh yes, so we could have power over the enemy, so we could have power and authority to be a witness here on this earth, so we could shine forth and oh yes, finish the work that Jesus Christ started. Amen. Oh yes, he began by teaching his kingdom. His kingdom that he was going to put inside us, each and every one. You know, that point that he made that, you know, my kingdom is not of this earth. You know, my kingdom was of this earth. He told Pilate then, should my men fight? But now is my kingdom not of this earth? No, he was going to put it within us. Within us. So yes, that we would have that power to overcome this world, the flesh, the devil. Oh, yes, you know, all the details. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. To be overcomers, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he didn't leave us comfortless, but he came to us to abide, to live in our hearts, praise the Lord. And yes, he commissioned us, every man his work. Praise the Lord. And yes, he commanded the porter to watch. Oh, the gatekeeper, oh, the man, a person who stands by the door to watch. Maybe it computes to pastors, perhaps. But oh, yes, each of us must watch and pray. And so he emphasizes it again. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, unaware, just going about doing your own things, lackadaisical, you know. Oh my, you know, just thinking we've got years ahead, and you know, lots of time, and you know, don't have to be too concerned about our life, you know, just do the things that make you feel good. Oh, I pray that none of us have that mentality. Amen. No, we don't want to be found sleeping. We want to be found working in the Lord's vineyard, doing his work, you know, doing the things that fulfill what he has ordained for us to do as individuals. And he says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch, be aware, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Oh yes, keep it in mind, his coming draweth nigh. We don't know the day, the hour. We don't know if he's coming in the morning or at evening or in the noon watch or the cock crowing or whenever. But oh no, hey, we don't know those things, but we do know he is coming back. Amen, he's coming back. And oh yes, as we turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5, we don't want to be like those that stumble, that walk in the darkness, They can't see, they're blind, they have no idea what is ahead. You know, they're not looking for the Lord's return. But oh yes, we are of the day and we want to be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, oh, that hope of salvation, that hope that is in our hearts. Oh yes, for that great and wonderful day when we see the Lord Jesus. Yes, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Praise the Lord. Our body may go to sleep. Oh, yes, or there will be some of us, God knows who will be awake, not, you know, not knowing what it's like to lose our breath and you know, be put to sleep in that sense. But oh my, yes, doesn't much matter, does it, here in verse 10, you know, because whether we wake or sleep, we have that hope that we should live together with him. Praise the Lord. So we're told here, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our blessed hope. There's great comfort in that. Praise the Lord. And knowing, you know, that there's a better day coming. Yes. Oh, that he's coming soon. And oh, yes, that we're going to see our Lord and all live with him throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord. And yes, you know, that's how chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians ended too, you know. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And yes, oh, that's our blessed hope. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord, let it sink down deep. Amen, that's our hope. Oh, that's what we're watching for. And yes, oh, how often Jesus admonished oh, his disciples, his children, to watch. Oh, yes, to pray. Oh, yes, to keep those lamps, our lamps, trimmed and burning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we're going to go on in this chapter, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And now, yes, Paul's going to be talking about some specifics here that deal with our life in Christ, our Christian mindset, praise God. So let's just read on here, praise the Lord. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, or admonish meaning warn you. And so it goes on to say in verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Let's just stop here a moment here. You know, here it's talking about the work of the ministry. It's talking about pastors and evangelists and teachers who labor in the field of ministry there specifically. And so here he's beseeching those at Thessalonica that, you know, first of all, that you would know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish, or as I said, warn you. And to just consider them, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And you know, it's really something. Just focus on this a little bit. Here, let's just go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 for a few verses for a little here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Praise the Lord. And here he does talk about roles in the kingdom of God, praise the Lord. But I'm going down to verse 17 here. It says in verse 17, let the elders, and elder in the scripture is another word here for those that are pastors or serve in a capacity similar to that. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so these are concepts, and then the muzzling portion is taken from Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, and you know, it's also emphasized that the laborer is worthy of his reward. And Paul did talk about this from time to time. I know in certain cases, like there at Corinth, he felt it needful to work with his hands. He was a tent maker by trade, and he did labor as a tent maker while he yet ministered. But, you know, that isn't necessarily the most ideal circumstance, and I would kind of know that too, because I kind of know that if you're pastoring a church and also working a secular job, oh my, you're very, very, very busy. And it's hard to concentrate on every angle and every detail. It's a lot. It's overwhelming at times. So, that isn't the ideal thing. And I know it was an amazing thing here when Pastor Meyer finally was able to quit his job at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh and just take the ministry on full time. And of course, there were questions, not knowing how that would be and how the Lord would provide, having a rather large family and all this and that. But anyway, it was an amazing thing because God honored that step so very, very much. And at that point, Last Trumpet Ministries grew amazingly. It multiplied. All at once, you know, we were hearing from people that we had never heard from before, and you know, God was bringing in funds that, you know, very easily and well took care of our needs, and praise the Lord, the needs of this church too, of this ministry too, because it being a small ministry, it wasn't always a lot of funds here to, you know, keep the lights on at the church. But praise the Lord, you know, God knows how to do things so beyond our own thinking. And you don't always know what God is doing. You know, sometimes it may seem like, you know, he's telling you to do something that's way out there, but oh my, there's always reasons for it. And God honors steps of faith. That indeed was a step of faith. And again, as I just said, God honored it greatly to leave that job. And, you know, there were other jobs that Pastor David was offered, some very lucrative ones that he never, you know, even considered taking, because that would have taken him completely away from the ministry, even from the city. But, oh, praise the Lord, how beautiful it is to be a laborer for the Lord. But yes, the point is made here. Paul is saying, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. You know, that ox, you know, doesn't need to be muzzled as it goes about doing its hard labor. And yes, the labor is worthy of his reward, he tells us. And then there's a little more given here. It says in verse 19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And that's an interesting point too, because that was another point that the scripture emphasized, that there always needed to be two or three witnesses, at least two and even three, before you could make certain accusations and even put people to death. And that's brought out in the book of Deuteronomy. So praise the Lord, that's even in his word, that, you know, his word would be established by two or three witnesses verifying the same detail and point. Praise the Lord. And then it says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And then I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So there, yes, some words of wisdom that Paul gave forth. And just want to look here in another place by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Let's also go to Titus, just the book beyond 2 Timothy here. Titus in the first chapter. And here, you know, it is more advice given here to Titus, who also was a young minister in the Lord Jesus. So Titus, and I'm going to read a little bit here, praise the Lord. Going down to verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. And then he's going to bring forth qualifications for one that would be ordained as an elder. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward or the overseer or manager of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, and temperate meaning self-controlled. Praise the Lord. And then verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And so, yes, the emphasis on those that take a position in ministry, oh my, to gain money. Oh, absolutely not proper at all. And oh my, the necessity, yes, to have these credentials, and oh yes, to have sound doctrine embedded in the hearts, because it's doctrine that's going to save us. It's sound doctrine that's going to save individuals, and that ability to exhort or to warn, and even to convince the gainsayers. So those that are out there, you know, just not knowing what to think, not serving the Lord, oh, in so need of a real experience with Jesus. Oh my. So here, yeah, a little bit more there that is given there as advice for those that would be wanting to be in that capacity. And then if we go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, there's a verse here that I'd like to read before I go on, 1 Thessalonians. And that's Hebrews 13, and I'm going down to verse 17. And here it tells us, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Oh, yes, quite the word here. And you know the seriousness of this matter. Those that are in charge of your soul. And yes, the need to give heed, to listen to them. Because yes, they have a very important obligation. And that's why we teach, that's why we preach, you know, because, oh yes, we're all going to stand before the Lord and need to give an account. And oh yes, oh my, we all must be right with God. We must have finished our course and have done the things that please the Lord. And you know, there's not going to be excuses on that day. So here it is, the importance of God's word. This is an important matter. You know, the watching for your souls as they that must give an account. And I don't know how that's going to be exactly, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know, there's going to be no fudging at that moment. I mean, you know, we can't try to make excuses or, you know, try to bring out the best. I mean, you know, it's one way or the other in the sight of God. No, yes, how we want to be right with God. Oh, yes, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Oh, my, the word of God, that two-edged sword that speaks to our souls. Oh, my, yes, amen. Okay, continuing in 1 Thessalonians 5. Tells us here in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And oh yeah, you know, if somebody's being rebellious and not living according to God's standards, God's rules, then I would say they're unruly and they need to be warned, okay? Amen. And then it says, comfort the feeble-minded. And I don't know, my Bible interprets feeble-minded as being faint-hearted. And so anyway, whichever way it goes, I'll just let that rest with you. But it tells us, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and those without a lot of strength, I would say. Be patient toward all men and all the virtue of patience. How we need it, amen, how we need it. You know, we're all human, we're all, you know, we all have to make it through this world, you know, and oh my, you know, Jesus Christ has great patience with us, and oh, by his grace, we have patience one with another too, amen. And then it says in verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And you know, man's tendency to, you know, reward evil with evil. And of course, you know, even the way under the law, you know, was a little different. You know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, but wow, when Jesus came and he preached that Sermon on the Mount, oh my, he was bringing about radical changes. Oh, yes, as he was instructing. And, you know, if we just turn to Matthew 5 for a little bit here, you know, it tells us, going down to verse 38 in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Oh, don't accept that invitation for a duel or to fight. Just turn to the other cheek. Oh, yes, so that can be avoided, in other words. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, or twice as much. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So yes, here is a great difference from that which had been under the law. No, yes, going beyond that which, you know, was expected in the under the law, and you know, not, you know, abiding by the eye for eye and tooth for tooth doctrine. Then he goes on to teach in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publican the same, or the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? In other words, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Oh my, yes, going towards that mark, that high calling in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh my, if we go to the 8th chapter of Matthew and read a verse here, verse 12, we have what people call the golden rule. It reads, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Oh yes, Jesus was bringing about a new way of thinking. Oh yes, a way of loving. Oh yes, even our enemies, and praying for them that persecute us. And oh my, have, you know, all kinds of bad, you know, thoughts concerning us. But oh yes, it's a great change. And of course, it's stated so well in Romans, the 12th chapter here, this same concept that is taught in 1 Thessalonians. Romans 12 tells us in verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Amen. So yes, that is a teaching that, yes, Paul was emphasizing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Wow, that doesn't, you know, make any exceptions, does it? But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And then, oh yes, we're told, rejoice evermore. Oh, praise the Lord. Deep down in our hearts, we can rejoice. Oh, because we have a hope beyond this world. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, it should keep us. Oh, it should keep us on the path, on the straight and narrow, because, oh, yes, oh, we know our God, and oh, he has reached down, oh, to take us out of the pit. Oh, yes, to bring us to that point of salvation. Oh, so yes, as it tells us in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, praise the Lord. So yes, we can live with rejoicing because yes, we have a hope. The Lord has saved us. He has redeemed us. Praise the Lord. And then we're told to pray without ceasing. Oh yes, that need, oh yes, to have a prayer deep within, in our heart at all times. Amen. You know, Philippians, that 4th chapter also has a word to say about that too. Continuing with verse 5 here in Philippians 4, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6 tells us, be careful for nothing, or in other words, don't be concerned or worried for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what an outline here. Praise the Lord, that prayer. And you know, I know Brother Samuel was in the 12th chapter of Acts last Sunday, and we know that the church there was praying without ceasing there when Peter was taken into custody, and oh yes, with the expectation that he was going to be killed by Herod. Oh my, the church there at Jerusalem was praying without ceasing. Oh my, you know, not knowing what God would do. Oh my, you know, yes, one had already been killed with the sword, and only God knew what would happen next. But praise the Lord, he delivered Peter, didn't he? Oh yes, the church even taken by surprise. What a story that is in Acts the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we need to live in that realm of prayer. That, you know, we can always call on the Lord. No matter what, it's always on our heart, in our heart and on our lips, you know, to cry out and, oh my, to make a supplication for all that need it at that very moment. Amen. So that need to pray without ceasing, without stopping in that realm, in that spirit of prayer. And then we're told in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, some things, you know, are pretty trying as we walk this earth. Oh yeah, you know, we might not always feel like thanking the Lord for what is happening in our lives at any given moment. But yes, here we're told to give thanks in everything. Yes, because that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, concerning you. Amen. And oh yes, Colossians, I believe it's the 3rd chapter here. It tells us in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Whatever we do, we must do it unto the Lord. If you can't do it unto the Lord, please don't do it. No, oh, amen. Oh yes, because we want our whole life to exemplify the Lord Jesus, to show light in this world where the darkness is so great. So whatsoever we do in word or deed, oh, we're commanded here in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, that even includes baptism. Oh yes, when we go down in the water, yes, we go down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And yes, doing it in his name, and yes, by giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, there's something about it too. When we have a thankful heart, despite of confusion, lack of understanding, maybe even pain and suffering, oh wow, if we could just give thanks to the Lord, you just don't know what he's going to do. Obviously, that's what Paul and Silas did there in Philippi when they were cast into the prison, beaten unjustly, in great pain and suffering, oh my, thrown down there in that dark, dingy place, oh my, in all their pain, what did they do? At midnight they were heard, oh, praying and singing praise unto the Lord, amen, worshiping God. Oh, yes, God heard it, amen, didn't he? God heard it, and oh yes, things didn't stay the same, praise the Lord. They didn't stay the same, oh yes, just because two men in the midst of a great trial, in the midst of great pain, were willing, oh yes, to praise and worship God, praise the Lord, amen. Praise our Lord, praise the Lord. And then it goes on. It tells us in verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Oh, we need to listen to the leading of the Holy Ghost as it talks to our hearts, and we don't want to stop it from operating, from working. We don't want to ignore it when he's talking to our hearts and telling us what we need to do. We don't want to quench it, extinguish it, or put it out. As we are advised strongly here in verse 19. And then, oh yes, it goes on and it tells us, despise not prophesying. And oh yes, as the word of God is spoken under the inspiration of God for reproof or correction or whatever the need is, we need to listen and not ignore it, and certainly not to despise it. Oh my, you know, wow. Sometimes it's so sad. People are given a warning and advice and they ignore it and don't listen, and the worst happens. Oh my, help us never to be in that position, but oh yes, help us not to despise prophesying, and that would include even God's word and the admonishment that we are given in God's word. And then it tells us in verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And you know, in all things, you know, there's going to be a proving of, you know, as we are test, you know, it's talking about being, you know, testing all things. You know, in 1 John, we're told to test the spirits to see whether they be of God. And again, you know, there's a lot of devices of the enemy. There's a lot of cunning. There's a lot of deception in this world. And you know, we better be in tune with God so that we can try the spirits or test the spirits, as it tells us in 1 John 4, to know whether they are of God. And yes, it continues, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And if that was true back then at the time of the early church, how about now, when we're living in this time of great, great deception? Oh, we better be in tune with God. We better have his word as deeply embedded in our hearts as possible so that we can know truth from error. Oh my, you know, and yes, we need to, you know, be able to prove all things that we partake of, or that we do, that we say, that they would be scriptural. Praise the Lord. And then it's told us, hold fast that which is good. Oh, cling to those things which are good. Oh, yes, which is another admonishment which we are given there from Romans, the 12th chapter, the need to cleave unto things which are good. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, and yes, we are told, abstain from all appearance of evil. Sometimes, you know, just people almost like a dare or something, you know. This is kind of black and white, you know, it seems kind of gray, and we don't think the Lord will mind if, you know, we just go there a little bit or dabble in that a little bit and all. But here, you know, if there's any, if it looks at all like evil, we are told to abstain from it by the grace of God. Oh, yes, as our witness, to be a light in this world. Oh, yes, a very good point, praise the Lord. And then it tells us, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the great desire of our hearts. Oh, yes, that, oh, Lord, the Lord would keep us. Oh, our spirit and our soul and our body, that, oh, yes, we would be preserved blameless so that we can stand before our God, oh, without sin. Oh, yes, there, oh, yes, without condemnation. Oh, yes, because we gave heed to the gospel, praise the Lord, turned our lives over to the living God, and oh, continue to live in that realm, that walk by faith, oh, that abstaining from things that are evil, oh, yes, and going that direction, yes, where the light of God can be seen by the way we live, by the words that come out of our mouths. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, amen. Oh, yes, so that is the great desire here, that Paul was praying on behalf of this church at Thessalonica, and then he says in verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh, that's such a beautiful thing. You know, we know that's an attribute of our God. He's true and he's faithful. Yes, and he will do according to his word. His word will stand. Oh, no matter if everything else falls, his word will stand. And he is faithful. We can bank on that which he has declared, that which has been written in his word. And know that he is faithful, he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh, he knows how to keep us. Praise the Lord, you know. Oh, Paul, you know, I just, you know, made comments. Oh, yes, that he knew in whom he had believed. And oh, yes, he had that understanding that, you know, God was able to keep him, to preserve him. Oh, yes, against the attacks of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Paul knew that in whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that God was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Our past. Those dreadful things that we don't even want to think about. That sin that we all walked in once upon a time. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. Oh, praise the Lord, we have committed it to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We know that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. And yes, as Paul said, that he was persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Oh, yes. Sin that separated us from God, oh, will not be an issue on that day if we've turned it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we committed it unto him, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then Paul humbly says, brethren, pray for us. Oh, those prayers that hold us up. Oh, man, we don't know what prayer does. And I thank the Lord, you know, we need to live in that state of prayer, you know, where God puts somebody on our heart and we know that we need to bring that person or that predicament or that situation before the Lord. So here he says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. He closed this epistle with his common salutation. Oh, yes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, and these were the words, yes, that he sent forth with this first epistle to that church. These brothers and sisters, these disciples of the Lord that he greatly loved, oh, praise the Lord, you know, admonishing them and presenting these thoughts that he felt were very needful. So, yes, when it comes to that moment, oh, praise the Lord, that their whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. So that we can stand before him in peace. Oh, with hearts that are right with God. Oh, yes, hearts that have been touched and changed and motivated and led by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. His words to this church at Thessalonica. They that turned the world upside down, praise the Lord, through their conversion and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. And I pray that you would minister to us. You help us, Lord. Help us with the struggles. Help us with the trials. Oh, God, help us to overcome, oh, the world, the flesh, the devil, oh, Lord. Oh, help us, oh, Lord, to be pure before thee. So that, oh Lord, when we stand before thee, oh yes, our spirit and our soul and our body will be preserved before thee, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord on that great and mighty day of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, the day of thy appearing. Oh, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, God. Minister to us. Help us. Talk to us. Oh, God, help us to give heed. Help us to, oh, yes, let you rule and reign in our lives. And help us to listen to thy word and that which, oh, Lord, has been taught in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord that we would finish our course, do the work that God has ordained for us. Praise our God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our course books to number 78 and say, keep on walking by faith. Number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep
Thank you.
so much.